Welcome to Straight From the Muzzle, folks, where we are anything but straight. My name is Space.
And I'm Bean.
And we welcome to our episode, which is about what today?
Today, we are talking about the do's and don'ts of commissioning a fursuit maker. I know there's a lot of different types of fursuit makers out there, and they all have different protocols for how you send them quotes and how you get prices and then the commissioning process itself. But there are some just unspoken do's and don'ts that we believe everybody should be aware of before commissioning an artist to build your fursuit.
So let's get started.
We're going to do this in a way that's like, we're going to cover do's and don'ts in the beginning of the fursuit commissioning process, the middle, and then the end. Now, I'm a fursuit maker, so I'm coming from the maker's perspective, but I've also commissioned somebody before as well. So I have seen both sides of the coin, and Space is also commissioning me for a fursuit. So you're also have some experience in this too. So that'll be really good for the customer.
Technically, my husband is commissioning you, but it's good enough. It's good enough.
Well, you're involved in the process, so
somewhat, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So in the beginning, what you need to start with is to do, which you need to make sure you have a 2-3 view reference sheet. A digital reference sheet with clear colors and markings is best. Why don't you explain what a reference sheet is?
A reference sheet is pretty standard. It's something you need to have when you kind of get into the fandom. It's how you create your fursona, and it's basically like a guidebook to artists so that they can know how to draw your character. So a reference sheet usually consists of three different types of views: a front view, a back view, and then a side view. So you can usually find, like, if you want to make your own, I think there's templates online that you can find that you can do. I've seen a lot of people go it that way. But I always recommend going to someone and commissioning a reference sheet. They can cost anywhere between $10 to $200, just depends on how detailed you want to go. But if it's your first reference sheet and you're going to do it for a fursuit, I would kind of go in the range of maybe like $20 to $50, just so that you can get a little bit more detail. The more, the merrier, and it makes it a lot easier for your fursuit commissioner.
Definitely. Yeah. For your fursuit maker. Yeah.
Thank you. Fursuit maker.
And digital is best. So if you want to draw it yourself, but you don't have a tablet, you can do traditional. Just make sure that you at least pick out your fur colors ahead of time so the fursuit maker can get accurate colors in. Because when you take pictures of a traditional piece, like a drawing or whatever, and the colors will always not be true to what the fabric would be. Whereas with digital, you can get, you know, a color dropper and get the exact colors that you want. So if you do traditional, then at least make sure you pick out your colors ahead of time for your fursuit maker.
Would you say it'd be I'm just going to pop in here.
Yeah.
Would you say it would be even better if someone was able to get a 3D model of their character made as a reference? Three-dimensional build?
It wouldn't be that much different from a three-view reference sheet, just because the fursuit maker is going to make the costume in the style of their fursuit making. So like a 3D model would be more well-suited if you're building your own fursuit and you want to make sure it's as close to your 3D model as possible.
Right.
But when it comes to commissioning a fursuit maker, you're commissioning somebody because you want your character in their style. So if it was a 3D model, it would be pretty much used the same way as, you know, just a 3-view reference sheet.
Okay.
Another to-do for the beginning of the fursuit making process is to make sure you have your price range in mind, and to make sure at least 30% of your price range you have ready to give to that fursuit maker immediately. So let's say hopefully you did research on your fursuit maker and you saw their price sheet and you know a full suit will cost around like $3,000. Make sure you have 30% of $3,000 ready in case they do say yes to your commission, and then you have to pay them 30% deposit in order to hold the slot. Now, a 30% deposit is for one, to make sure that you keep your slot, and it's for the fursuit maker to go ahead and order your supplies. That's why you need to have that ready. And it's also to make sure that you don't back out as a customer and leave the fursuit maker with an empty slot that they would need to fill in an emergency situation.
Ooh, who are you calling a slut?
What?
Slut. Yep. Okay.
Nasty.
And then what?
Also, you need to make sure you read the fursuit maker's website all the way through. The frequently asked question page and the terms of service are the most important sections.
FAC and TOS. And I did not say FAC. I said FAC.
FAC.
With a Q.
FAQ and TOS. The FAQ is really helpful just in general, but the terms and service are the most important because a lot of the time there will be rules and regulations that you wouldn't be aware of as a commissioner if you didn't read the terms of service. For example, some people might say they have a no refund policy, or they might tell you you have to have a minimum of $100 payment a month. And if you didn't know that, then, you know, you would be shit out of luck. So you got to make sure you read those before filling out the quote sheet. And most of the times on a quote sheet, it'll say you are required to read the terms of service page before submitting a quote. Otherwise, you'd be breaking a contract. So that is super duper important. In general, make sure you're financially stable before commissioning a fursuit maker. They're artists, not banks. So if you change your mind halfway through your commission, it's not their responsibility to, you know, give you all that money back. Typically, there will be a refund policy in place. But if your fursuit is almost done, don't expect any money back because they've already made it.
We've already spent that bitch. Mm-hmm.
And also research your fursuit maker before sending in a quote. You don't want to be caught with a bad maker with bad business practices. There are fursuit review websites. There are also people on Twitter that own fursuits by the maker you're wanting to commission. You can ask them, how is their experience? Do you like your fursuit? Is it good quality? Did they, you know, make it in a timely fashion? Things like that.
Sweet. What should you not do?
Basically, to start off, you want to make sure you have a good quality reference sheet. So what not to do, have a bad quality reference sheet. I've had people send me just black and white pencil sketches before of a character and ask for a fursuit quote. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
What?
I can't do anything with this. I don't know what colors these are. I don't know what these markings are. Like, you need to have a good quality reference sheet, or a reference sheet that's like just so poorly drawn that I can't tell what the animal is. Things like that. You have to have at least a decent quality reference sheet. Don't go into a fursuit maker's email without having a price range in mind, because then, you know, you won't be prepared for their answer and you might, you know, just be shocked by what they say to you. Don't email a fursuit maker if you're just window shopping. This is really rude. Most of the times when quotes are open, it takes a long time to fill out an accurate quote as a fursuit maker. It could take at least 20 to 30 minutes. And if it's a complicated character that takes a while to find the fur colors for, up to an hour. So a lot of fursuit makers will charge like a $5 quote fee because of this, or they will ask up front, are you just window shopping or are you looking to get a slot, to make sure they could give you an accurate price or just a ballpark range. So don't window shop. If you're just window shopping, go to their prices page on their website. That's the best thing for you to do if you're just window shopping. Don't commission someone if you don't have money. That's self-explanatory. And don't complain about the fursuit maker's prices. I know some people might think something is overpriced for the quality, and that's your opinion. You're valid to have it. But, you know, emailing the artist and telling them that their prices are too high, it's just plain rude. That's their livelihood, and it's just not appropriate to do.
And don't be one of those people that goes out of their way to make their life hell either.
Oh my God, yeah.
Because that's a really quick way to get yourself on a ban list.
Oh, there are ban lists. Fursuit makers talk to each other. If you're rude or if you complain and you get blocked by a fursuit maker, it's likely that other fursuit makers will not want to work with you, because we talk.
Yes, they do.
There was somebody on TikTok that was harassing me because I wouldn't make them a free fursuit. And I was like, what? Who is this? And they were like 15 years old, way too old to be, you know, having that mindset. I would understand if they were like a child, but a teenager, like, come on, you have at least a halfway developed brain. Meet me halfway here, kiddo.
I mean, I have to know what was going through their brain. Why would any kid think that they could just go up and, let's say, like, I walked up to, I don't know, a car dealership and said, I want that car for free. I'm sorry. I'd have to have a really good reason for that. But even then, like, who does that?
Like, I posted a video that was like, hey, does anybody have any ideas for, you know, cool species or colors for me to make a pre-made fursuit? And then somebody commented, like, you can use my fursona if you want, if you, or my character or my species. If you make it, would I be able to get it for free? Like, just like, bro, I'm not gonna, no. Like, no. What kind of, and then when I said, I'm sorry, if it's like that, then you'd have to commission me, yada, yada. Like, I was polite. And they were just like, how dare you, you lazy. Like, they called me lazy. And they were like, you were asking for people to send you designs so you can make them, and then you're not even gonna give it to them. And I'm like, what does that mean? I think you're confused.
Yeah, that seems like entitlement. That seems like someone who... It's in their brain, they think, okay, well, if you're going to use my suggestion, I should get something out of it. I hate to break it to you guys. Life doesn't work that way.
No.
Just because you give something doesn't mean you're going to get it back. No. Or get something from it.
It was ridiculous.
What else?
All right. So for the middle of the building process, you've paid your, you know, at least your down payment. You're on the first maker's queue. And your fursuit will be getting made. It's official. So to do, keep in contact with your fursuit maker, either through emails or Telegram, Discord, anything like that. A lot of fursuit makers will actually have group chats, either through Discord or Telegram, for their customers, like large order customers. I know I have one. I have, you know, a handful of people on there. And that's where I send, you know, updates to my customers just as a whole to prevent me from having to send like 5 separate emails. It's just easy and quick. But if you're not a part of that group, keeping in contact with them, you know, individually is just fine. Send your measurements and your duct tape dummy to your fursuit maker in a timely manner. We cannot start working on your costume unless you send us those measurements. So the longer you wait in sending those out, the longer it takes for us to start on your costume. Checking the fursuit maker's queue, which is a list of, you know, commissions that they have with updates attached to them. You can see these a lot on Trello. I'm sure if you're an artist, you've heard of Trello before. You can check on the status of your commission on their, you know, Trello page or on their queue without having to email them. So it'll prevent you from feeling like you're bothering the fursuit maker too much, and you can still get information you need there. Pay your maker on time. If you have a monthly payment that's supposed to be paying somebody on the first Friday of every month, then get that payment in on the first Friday of every month. Being late, that's a someone's paycheck. And if it's late, they have bills to pay and it can be troublesome.
Very much so.
Yes. Using invoices or business links through PayPal or Square or anything like that, you want to make sure you're paying your fursuit maker through an official website. Don't use money orders. Don't use cash. Don't use checks. You want something that you can track through a third party. So if something happens, you can get a refund, you know, with valid proof that you would need it. And then finally, be patient. Fursuit makers have a lot on their plate, and it can take a hot minute to make a fursuit. That's a very time-consuming, you know, activity. So being patient with your fursuit maker can help you both in the long run. Of course, there are, you know, there's always a line to be drawn. If something is taking, you know, an oddly long time, poke your fursuit maker and make sure they're not neglecting you, but also don't expect a fursuit to get done in a month. And then what not to do. Don't ghost your maker, which means don't just stop contacting them. If they email you and you don't reply and you just ignore them, they don't know what to do. It's very confusing. This has happened to me once before. where someone just disappeared for a couple months and they came back and they were like, sorry, my Wi-Fi was out for a while. And I was like, you could have used a library to just let me know.
You could have just texted me or something.
Yeah, or texted me or gotten a friend to message me on Twitter, anything like that.
Write a letter or something. I don't know.
Literally, yeah, because my address is posted on PayPal. I think everybody's is. So if you have a business link through there, you can get people's emails or address or whatever. Man, that was a wild experience. Don't harass your fursuit maker for updates unless, again, there's a line to be drawn. If they haven't updated you in, like, you know, 5 months and it's been forever, sure, poke them and ask if there's an update. But every week, you know, you shouldn't be poking them like, hey, what do you have? Any pictures? Any pictures? Like, it can get really stressful really fast. Don't be late on your payments. And this is super duper important. Don't use the friends and family option on PayPal, and don't pay any PayPal fees if the fursuit maker asks you to. That's actually against the law and against PayPal policies. The fursuit maker, that's how they pay tax, is through PayPal fees. If you use the friends and family option on PayPal, then there's no legal way you can get a refund. So usually it's a red flag if a fursuit maker asks you to pay through the friends and family option. You want to make sure it's always through paying for goods and services.
Have you ever had any bad experiences with these what not to do's besides the ghosting your maker?
Yeah, I've had experience with all of these. I've been making fursuits for 10 years now, and I've had my business for at least, I had it in 2014. Yeah, I've had people harassing me for updates before. I had one person that was literally messaging me every couple of days when they weren't even the first in line on the queue. So there were like at least two people ahead of them. So their suit wasn't going to be started for at least like a month. And they were harassing me every couple of days, being very impatient. I've had multiple customers make payments late habitually. I've had two last year, actually, that one person was always at least a week late, if not a little longer than that. And another one that was always a couple of days late, which isn't as bad. That's, you know, I started mentally preparing for the a couple days late one and just made a mental note that, like, our records say you should pay on this day, but I know you're going to pay 3 days later from that. So, like, I basically adjusted the schedule in my brain to where it was skewed. But the person who was a couple weeks late always stressed me out because I never knew if I could get gas in my car that month because that one particular person was always late, which was also the person that ghosted me. So that was just a very unreliable person. After I sent them their fursuit, they disappeared off the face of the earth. I have no idea where it went.
Awesome.
Which is also heartbreaking, but...
frustrating.
Yeah, definitely. I've had experience with people complaining about prices. I had an experience where somebody commissioned me and sent a 30% down payment, and then a couple weeks later said that, hey, they had to cancel their commission because they didn't have any money. And they're like, can I get my 30% down payment back since you hadn't started? And I was like, no, that's non-refundable. I already spent that money on your fur and foam. Like, there's no refunding that. That's the whole point of the 30% down payment. It's for people like that do that, you know?
And then the end, when all is said and done.
So your fursuit is done. You're getting it ready to be shipped to you. There are some things that are important to do. Try to get insurance on your package when paying for shipping. Not everybody does this. It can be expensive, but if you're already paying thousands of dollars for a costume, it's really good to get insurance on your package. So, for example, you have a fursuit coming to you and shipping is $40. Insurance added on might be $20 more, but if that package gets lost, then your fursuit maker will be able to get all of the money that you spent on your fursuit, and they'll be able to refund you, at least so you'd get your money back. If you don't insure it, then the fursuit maker cannot guarantee, you know, that your package will get to you safely. 99% of the time, I would say that packages shipped through priority mail, which I never ship anything through ground shipping. I always do priority mail because of this. 99% of the time, it'll get to you safely with or without insurance. But if you just want to be extra safe, then using insurance is really, really helpful. Check your tracking number frequently. Once the package is at the post office, it's out of the fursuit maker's hands. And so checking the tracking number and keeping tabs on where it is with the post office can be really helpful. Leaving a review for your fursuit maker. So many people don't do this. If you had a good experience or, you know, even a bad experience, leaving a review for your fursuit maker on, usually, again, Fursuit Reviews website has one, on Twitter, on YouTube, you could do a video review, anything like that. It could be really, really helpful for people who are looking to commission that fursuit maker in the future. I know, what was it? Because you can want to commission somebody, but if there's no reviews out there, then you're just reduced to messaging people who have commissioned that person before. And that could be very nerve-wracking for some people. Just make sure that you've owned the fursuit for a couple of months before you leave your review, because sometimes if something is wrong, you won't know until you've worn it for a while. And if you like your fursuit and you had a good experience, make sure you thank your fursuit maker, because sometimes it's a really hard job for one thing, and sometimes they'll send a fursuit out and then there's nothing. They're like, okay, it got to me, and then you hear nothing from that person ever again. So it could be really heartbreaking for a fursuit maker to spend, you know, weeks and weeks on a project, bringing it to life, and then there's nothing from the person who gets it. There's no complaints either, so you know you did at least something right. They're at least wearing it, but they don't say thank you, and then it can be, you know, it's just nice. What not to do is don't complain about shipping prices. That's out of everybody's control if you're shipping anything. It's not something that the fursuit maker controls. We don't want to charge you, you know, $100 to ship a package to Australia, but that's just how it is sometimes. Don't lie on your customs forms. If something is going international, you have to be truthful on those, because if you're not, then you can get some really big fees waved your way and the fursuit maker's way. And don't freak out immediately if something is wrong on your suit. Like, if you pull out your fursuit and, like, a claw fell off, or if there's a little hole in your bodysuit. Sometimes things happen, and a fursuit maker 90% of the time is happy to fix it for free and to pay for the return shipping. You know, just everybody is human. These aren't factory made. So if something is wrong, before you freak out, contact your fursuit maker first and make sure that they're willing to help you. Now, if they're not willing to help you and they accuse you of something or they become unpleasant, that's when you can, you know, get a little worked up. But, like... Mm-hmm. Keep it professional. If something is wrong, they will fix it. Usually fursuit makers also have warranties. So if something is wrong, you could return it, you know, within a couple of months of owning it, and they'll fix it for free.
Nice. So overall, it doesn't look like it's too bad to, you know, it's not too confusing to commission a fursuit maker to get a fursuit.
No, it's not too bad. The beginning is the most nerve-wracking part. Once you get past that, then it's pretty, you know, it's pretty smooth sailing if you get a good maker.
It's kind of like everything out there when you buy a car, when you buy a house, when you buy something like really expensive. There's always little bits of complications at the beginning. But then after that part, then it's kind of like a breath of fresh air. And then, of course, you're just like, yes, I finally have this and I'm so excited to get it. So that's what I'm getting. I feel super excited.
Defo, are there any like questions or anything you would add as a somebody who hasn't made fursuits before, who would be just coming from a customer's point of view?
No, not necessarily. I mean, for me, it's pretty self-explanatory, pretty straightforward. All the questions, all the things you should do and should not to do. I got one actually. What if, and I'm just putting this straight out there because it's a possibility someone may have done this. What if someone tries to commission a fursuit with a gift card?
The fursuit maker will most likely deny that. You would have to use something like PayPal or Square app. Unless you can use a gift card like through PayPal, then I feel like that would be okay. But
what about checks? Do people still take checks?
Most fursuit makers don't, just because they can bounce. And also because it's hard to track them and get refunds on those, like from a customer's point of view. Because like from a fursuit maker's point of view, yeah, you get a check, and if it doesn't bounce, then there's your money. But from a customer's point of view, that's not a good idea, because it's a lot harder. Like, if a fursuit maker scams you, it's a lot harder to get your money back if you sent the money through check than it is through a digital source like PayPal.
So let's go down that route. Say the fursuit maker does scam you. What does the customer do in that point? What legal stance do they actually have?
I'm just going to keep using PayPal as an example, because that's 90% of the time what people use. You would open a file claim on PayPal, and you would contact them, and there's a bunch of stuff you fill out, like what happened, do you have any screenshots or whatever, and then you submit that claim. And then most of the time, PayPal will work in the customer's favor to get that money to you, even if it means running the fursuit maker's account in the negatives. But the only downside about this is that PayPal tends to favor the customer instead of the maker. So sometimes customers can actually scam fursuit makers, and then they're out of money and out of a fursuit that they built. So it's always good to keep tabs on everything, whether you're a fursuit maker or a customer. Using invoices or business links are always the best way to go because of that.
Should someone who's commissioning a fursuit have to deal with an FAQ or a contract that is so difficult to read, you would actually need a lawyer?
No.
Should that be a red flag?
That would be a red flag.
Okay.
Because even the most popular fursuit makers have pretty, user-friendly terms of service pages.
Okay. Cool.
One thing I would like to add, though, from a legal standpoint, if a fursuit maker asks for a picture of your driver's license or a picture of you holding your driver's license next to your face, don't be offended. A lot of the times this is just to verify your identity with your PayPal to make sure that somebody isn't using a stolen PayPal account. It's also useful just to keep track on records and whatnot for legal reasons. And also, if a fursuit maker asks for your legal and dead name, like if you're trans, for example, like on my forms, I ask for your legal name and then your preferred name and the pronouns that you use. So I only need your legal dead name for legal reasons, but I will only exclusively use your, chosen name and your pronouns personally. So most of the time, they're not transphobic or coming out to get you. They just need that information for legal reasons.
I think that's pretty much all the questions I have. But if you, the listener, have questions, maybe something that we missed or something that you personally have, you can always ask us. And then I can always just relay the message straight to Bean, and Bean will answer it pretty quickly. Yep. So don't be afraid to ask, because I've seen a lot of questions over the years, and I usually chuck them off to different team members, depending on who can answer it best. So if you ever need a question answered, just feel free to ask.
That's always the good thing about having staff members that come from different hobbies, is that if we get a question, right, Either of us know, we're just like, chuck it over to someone else. They'll know.
They'll deal with it.
They'll figure it out.
I love that. We have such a unique, diverse, I almost want to think. Yeah, I think our whole team is 100% LGBT.
Yeah, I think so.
I think about it, yeah. Well, one just came out as lesbo. And then one, I think Deer Dog is lesbian, but I'm not sure on that one. Pretty sure she is. I've always assumed.
I thought you were American.
I love that vine. So good. If you guys ever have any questions, even if it's outside of this particular topic, there's a good chance that one of us will know the answer to it, and then we'll get back to you as soon as we can. If you ever email us, it sends a notification straight to my phone, so I'm actually checking them pretty actively now. So
that's good. And our email for that is talktothemuzzle@gmail.com.
And that's pretty straightforward, even though we're gay.
Everybody on this team is gay. That's why our motto is what it is.
It's just great. I still love the fact that someone's like, I don't get why you would call it straight from the muzzle if you're gay. I'm just like, that's the whole point right there.
What do you want us to call it? Gay from the muzzle? That don't make sense, fool.
Girl, that makes no sense. All right. Well, thanks for the Oh my god, I almost broke the glass for the 100th time during this episode. God, I mean, I already broke the other one. It had like a J crack in it. I've never seen a glass like a kitchen glass, like have a crack perfectly in a J shape.
That's
like it
weird.
Just has one entry. That's it. I'm like, whoa, I'm going to throw this away. But anyways, that's besides the point. Thank you for creating this list. And do you have any last words before we end the episode?
I think that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, if you guys ever have any questions, like we said, just send us a message. Other than that, we'll see you guys on the next episode.
See you later.
Bye.